The reading this evening is from John chapter 15 and can be found on page 1083 in the Bibles. John chapter 15. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the words I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If a man remains in me, and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he's like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than he lays down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command: love each other. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The psalmist wrote, O Lord, open my eyes that I may see wonderful things in your law. Father, we pray that may be the case for us this evening, that as we look at these words of Jesus, we may see wonderful things and take them into our hearts and lives. For we ask it in his name. Amen. Well, what does it take to flourish as a Christian? I take it if you're a follower of Christ, that's a vital question, isn't it? What is the key to a fruitful or successful Christian life and walk? Is there some special spiritual technique you can employ? Is there some special knowledge or some special group of people you could belong to? Well, there are many ways people tell us and have told us over the years that if we do this, we'll really flourish as a Christian. But our passage that we've read gives us just one simple thing, one thing that is key for us. We've been looking over these last few weeks at Jesus' I am sayings. John Ellison helped us a few weeks ago to see that I am was the way that God introduced his name in the Old Testament. So each of these sayings contains in it a claim of Jesus to be God. And Alex has helped us by refreshing us with some of them. I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the gate, the good shepherd, the way, the truth, and the life, the resurrection and the life. They are amazing statements, aren't they? They're mind-blowing claims of Jesus Christ. Well, we've come to the final one tonight. I am the vine. And at first sight, it doesn't seem that exciting, does it? I am the vine. But I hope as we look in the detail, we'll find it really, really encouraging. Now, there is quite a lot in our reading. And we're not doing a kind of normal series working through everything in John's Gospel. Our aim really is a bit more focused, and we're going to think specifically of this claim of Jesus, I am the vine. And to do so, what we're going to do is base ourselves for this talk in one key verse from the passage. And we'll look at other things as well. But the one key verse is verse 5, which I think is a great summary of this passage. Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Well, it's a great summary verse of our reading, and there's kind of two parts to it. The first part is the claim of Jesus, and then secondly, how we should respond to his claim. So first then, his claim. And if you want a heading, if you're taking notes, it's this. Jesus is the source of our eternal life. Jesus is the source of our eternal life. He says, I am the vine, you are the branches. Now, as is typical with Jesus, he's a good teacher, and he uses an image of day-to-day life that people could identify with. So the standard Israelite home had a vine and a fig tree. That was the kind of ideal Israelite family home that they would have. So to speak of a vine is a very familiar kind of Israelite way of speaking. If Jesus was English, maybe he'd have said, I am the rose bush. Or if he was Irish, maybe he'd have said, I'm the potato plant. But he's an Israelite, so he says, I am the vine. And it's a very significant statement because there's actually more to that than first meets the eye. We're not really talking about gardening tonight, but theology. And the vine was the image, or one of the images God used in the Old Testament to speak and represent Israel. And it's rather typical in John's Gospel that Jesus, we see recorded alluding to, referring to the Old Testament quite a lot. So in sermon preparation for this talk, I looked up some of the Old Testament passages where Israel is called the vine. Here's a quote from Isaiah 5, for example. The vineyard of the Lord Almighty is the house of Israel. And the men of Judah are the garden of his delight. So the Old Testament says that God planted Israel as a beautiful vine. It was lovely and there was great potential in it. But the tragedy of the history of Israel was that they never ultimately bore good fruit. So Isaiah continues saying, and he, that is God, looked for justice, but saw bloodshed. He looked for righteousness, but heard cries of distress. Well, you could equally look up Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Psalm 80, or several other places for similar descriptions. Israel was to be a beautiful vine and to bear fruit in good works, in justice and righteousness, but in fact, the fruit turned bad. They didn't live up to the hopes and expectations. So Israel is pictured in the Old Testament as a failed, ruined vine, a fruitless vine, and it's a tragedy. So now, just think how wonderful Jesus' expression is to the Jew listening to this. He says, I am the vine. And in fact, look at verse 1. He says, I am the true vine. Now, why does he say the true vine? Well, I think it's because all that God's chosen people had failed to do over the centuries, in the time that God had been dealing with them, Jesus is now going to do and be. In him, it was not going to be a failure after all. There was going to be a true and authentic vine. And these disciples, as they sat there the night before Jesus was put to death, were seeing in front of them the man who was claiming to be the one that would produce at last all that God required of Israel and of the human race. So when Jesus says, I am the true vine, it is an enormous claim and an encouraging claim. Things are not going to be a failure after all. Through Jesus, there is hope for Israel and for the world. If we can be grafted into him, the true vine, well, there is hope that we might have life and bear fruit. And so therefore, of course, look at verse 5 again. It's really encouraging, isn't it? Because Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. Now, what does that mean? Who is Jesus speaking to? Well, of course, he's speaking to his 11 disciples. Now, in chapter 13, verse 30, Judas left and he went out into the dark to betray Jesus. He looked like he was a disciple, but he turned out not to be. So inside the upper room, we have left the 11 true disciples, and Jesus says, you are the branches of the vine. And this would have been amazingly reassuring to them. Jesus is about to die. They are troubled, they're distressed, they are anxious. But Jesus is saying, you are and you will still be connected to me. And we saw last time, didn't we, how that could be, because he is giving them his Holy Spirit so that they will be connected to him in a life-giving way, like a branch to a vine, in faith, union with Christ. You are the branches, he says. This is really, really exciting because Israel has proved unfruitful. But now Jesus, the true vine, enables people to be connected to him and enables people to be all that God wants us to be. You see, by ourselves, we cannot. We fail. But in connection with Christ, well, we can be all that he is and be part of God's true people. And of course, although he's speaking to the 11 back then, we see as John's gospel goes on that this is true for people from every nation, land, and tribe. If you put your trust in Christ, you can be united to him and be part of this great vine. So Jesus is actually redefining what it means to be God's people, because now it's not going to be through a bloodline back to Jacob, but it's going to be through faith, union with Christ. The new Israel, the eternal Israel, will be those who are connected to Jesus by faith. John is writing his gospel, as you see at the bottom of chapter 20. He's writing that we might see who Jesus is and that we might put our faith in him, be connected to the vine, and as a result, have eternal life. Through faith, share with him in all his blessings. It was a great blessing for the Jews to be born physical descendants of Abraham. It's a great blessing for us today, if we're born into a Christian family. But the physical descent, do you see what Jesus is saying, is not what really counts. You've got to have real faith in him. The Church of England has two initiation rites. The first one is baptism. And we teach that it is right to baptize the children of Christian believers and bring them up in the Christian faith. But it's not the only rite. We also have confirmation. And confirmation is really, really important because it recognizes the fact that one day the child must come to profess faith in Christ themselves. We must come to have a living faith in him if we're going to be grafted into his vine, be united to him. So when Jesus says, I am the vine, he is saying, I am the source of eternal life. He is the source of our eternal life. And through faith in him, we are connected to him and have eternal life. And if we are, then we are the branches. Well, that's the first part of the verse, the first part of the expression. Now the second part. He says, my heading is this, we must remain in him to flourish. We must remain in him to flourish. So he says, if a man remains in me, and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Well, what is the way to respond to this truth Jesus has been proclaiming? Well, he's saying, if you've put your trust in Christ, remain in him. In this passage, what you've got here is a bit of a sort of image of a gardening process, a vine growing process. So verses 1 and 2, I'll just read them out again. Jesus says, I am the true vine and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will become even more fruitful. So God the Father is likened to a vine dresser, and he's got his shears. I've got some shears, actually. He's got his shears with him, and he's at work in the vine, cutting out the dead branches and pruning the living ones so that they will become even more fruitful. So it's vital that we are, therefore, a living branch, isn't it? And that we are really going to be on the right side of that pruning process. So what is the definition then of a living branch? Well, Jesus says here, it's one that remains in him. Now, the English Standard Version of the Bible translates it slightly more precisely, word for word, and it, instead of remain, it uses the word abide. It's a bit of an old-fashioned word, but it's just slightly more precise, because abiding, it doesn't just mean to sort of continue. It also implies living somewhere. So to abide in Christ means to continue living in him. So it's a picture of living in Christ. And it fits, doesn't it, with the vine image. The living branch is the one that's abiding in Christ. So the key question, therefore, must be next, well, how can you abide in Christ? How do you abide and live in him? Well, the passage is quite straightforward, actually. It's not some secret, some sort of mystical or complicated thing. Just look at verse 7. He says, if you remain in me and my words remain in you. So you abide by taking in Jesus' words. That's the way to remain in him, to have his words remain in you. Or as Jesus put it elsewhere, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. So we live in Christ and feed on him by his word. In fact, if you noticed, verse 3 of the reading says that it's through his words that we got into the Christian life in the first place. He says, you are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. We receive his words and his promises, and through trusting in them, through faith, we are made clean and made into branches. And the branch remains in the same way by remaining in his words, which of course we have in this book, the Bible. His words. It's really quite simple what Jesus is saying. And so, of course, this passage is telling you and me quite a lot about the vital importance of reading the Bible, isn't it? It's the way we feed on Christ. It's the way we abide and remain in him. Vital, isn't it? So I wonder, how's your Bible feeding going? How is your intake of God's word? Are you feeding on his life-giving word? According to this is the way we keep going with Jesus. But there's more to say, actually, about this word. If you are reading, thinking about the word, how do you know that it's really in you? Jesus uses this kind of language, doesn't he, of having his words in you. How do you know that his words are really in you and not just kind of brushing over you or through you? Well, later on in the reading, it spells it out, I think. Look at verse 9. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. So Jesus is saying that you know you have his word in you when you obey that word. Or as the Apostle James put it, do not listen to the word only and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. That's the whole purpose of God speaking to us, that we might obey. That's the way to respond to his words, the indication that we are remaining in Jesus' love, that we obey what he commands. And the process doesn't stop there, because he says if we abide in him, well, that will be a great blessing for us. Later on in the reading, it talks of joy. In our verse 5, he says we will bear much fruit. It's a great promise and a great encouragement that if we abide in him, if we take in his words and obey them, we will bear much fruit. Look at verse 7 to show how this process of fruitfulness works out, how this kind of gardening process works out. He says, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciple, my disciples. So that's the whole gardening process. It leads to fruit, and it gets there through our prayers. Prayers that are shaped by the word of Jesus. We take in his word and we pray in line with his word. And those prayers will be answered and will result in much fruit. Much fruit. Now, what is the fruit? Well, it's not specified quite here, but there are some clues in the whole of our reading. In the second part of the reading, in verses 9 to 16 in particular, there's that focus on obeying Jesus' command. And what is the command that he really wants us to obey? It's right at the end, isn't it? This is my command. Love each other. So I'm sure that the fruit involves the Christian community loving each other. It's the opposite, isn't it, of what happened in Israel. They didn't do it. But if we do it, we are bearing fruit as Jesus wants us to. But also, I think, look down at verse 16. Jesus speaks of his disciples being appointed to go out to bear fruit, go out into the world. And so I think it would be right also to say that the fruit includes the impact that his followers have on the world, in particular his mission to bring in new disciples, new converts through the ministry of the apostles. So fruit, I think, is a very general expression that includes all the good things that we do and are through Jesus working in us and through us as we obey his word, as we pray, and as he uses that to help us to grow. Love, mission, everything. And the result of it all, of course, will bring glory to the Father. If we remain in him, we will bear much fruit. And that's a wonderful promise for us. But there is a warning, isn't there, in this verse as well? And it would be right to pick up on that warning before we finish. He says, doesn't he, apart from me, you can do nothing. Apart from me, you can do nothing. And the vine image is the thing to have in our minds. You see, if a branch is to bear fruit, well, of course, it must be connected to the vine. If it's not connected to the life-giving vine, it cannot bear fruit. It cannot do anything. And so it's just a reminder, isn't it, to us? Yet we cannot do any useful, fruitful, good Christian service if we're not abiding in Christ. There's no good service we can do if it's not done really in his strength and for him and his glory. Apart from me, you can do nothing. But actually, I think there's a bit more of a serious reading here, warning here as well, if you think about the whole of this reading that we've had. And it's a warning that comes to those of us who call ourselves Christians, because there are actually two types of branch, aren't there, in this vine. There are the fruitful branches that the Father prunes so they bear more fruit, but then there are branches that are fruitless, that are cut out, taken away, and verse 6 tells us burnt. There are two types of cutting that the Father does with his shears. If you've got a dead branch, it's cut off and taken away. If you've got a living branch, it's pruned and trimmed so that it bears more fruit. Now, I'm not much of an expert on these kinds of things and on gardening. I know how to do the brutal lopping bit. There's been quite a lot of that to do in our garden, actually. I confess that I let Cherry prune and look after the roses. I just do the hacking. But it is rather important, actually, to think what goes on when the Father comes and does this cutting. And it's really important to say that the branches that are cut off are not branches that he kills with his shears. They're branches that are already dead. And that's really, really important thing to say, I think. God is not going around with his shears looking for weak Christians, not very fruitful Christians, to kill off. He's not thinking that person's not much good, I'll cut them off. No, he's saying if there's no life, then ultimately that will be taken away. So be assured, if you're a branch, he will prune you to make you more fruitful. It may not always be nice. In fact, I imagine a rose bush not feeling too happy about a big shears coming towards it. But it will be good. I think what God is saying, though, is that if someone claims to be Christian, but there's no real living faith, then in fact they are dead. See, it is important, I think, not to take an image of a vine and push it too far. We've got to read this vine image in the context of the whole of John's gospel. And John makes it absolutely crystal clear, if someone has come to Christ and put their trust in Christ and really done that, Jesus will keep you till the end. We are clean. He says to the apostles, you are clean because of the word I have spoken to you. You are a living branch and Jesus will look after you. But John's gospel also makes clear, I think, that there are some who are among the branches, but there's no living faith. There's no real relationship with Jesus, and they will be cut off. And the two examples to have in mind here are Judas and Peter. So Judas was among them. He looked for a time like he was one of them, but actually there was no living relationship with Jesus. He turned out not to be the case, and he was removed. Peter, on the other hand, is a struggling disciple. He denies Jesus. He messes up. But God prunes him and makes him ultimately wonderfully fruitful. So if I'm alive in Christ, he promises I'll bear fruit. But if I'm saying I'm a Christian and there's no relationship there, well, we need to take the warning, don't we, that ultimately will be taken away. The Father, you see, has got his shears and he's coming to prune us. I'll just walk down here. He's coming to prune us. And the question is, are we living and he'll prune us, or are we dead and he'll take us away? It's a big, important lesson, isn't it? So Jesus says these words, I am the vine, you are the branches. I'm the source of spiritual life. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. We need Jesus for eternal life. We can do nothing without him. If we are in him, then we can be wonderfully assured. If we're feeling unassured by anything that I've said, well, what is the answer? It's to turn to Jesus, to trust in him, and come to him. And the wonderful promise is that he will keep us and enable us to bear much fruit to his glory. Let's pray, shall we? I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Father, I just want to thank you that you've given us John's gospel and you've given us the words of Jesus that we may believe in him and have his words in us. Help us to do that. Just pray for each one of us that we may hear what you have to say from this passage and take it to heart. And pray that as a church we may bear much fruit as a result of Jesus' words in us. Amen.